God got me in different directions intentionally, but it's going to tie in together. Go ahead and turn to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to read verses 1 through 6 here in a little bit. That's going to be the sermon. Those of you like notes or titles, unity. But I got something before we go there. I want you to ask yourself two questions this morning, to all of us. And I've been dwelling on this. I told you about my friend that lost his son. And we're going to get into that. So ask yourself this question this morning. How grounded is your faith in the Lord? Because I'm going to tell you something. You're going to need it one day. Okay? And God forbid something but tragically happens to anybody, but we know we live in a fallen world. Things are going to happen. But I single-handed seen probably the greatest testimony of faith and on a four-hour trip with my friend when I went and picked him up and brought him back home, a four-hour trip from losing his son. Now, I'm going to tell you something. It was pretty rough. But he continually, and I talked to him this morning, so it's been 4 days. He has continually said, I'm giving glory to God in this situation. His only son, this man had, and stuff. And he said, I don't understand, or I never probably will, but he said, I'm okay with that because I know God's in control. He personally told me and a bunch of other people that. I heard it over and over. And he also said that my prayer is that at least one person out of this tragedy at some point comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ and stuff, and how fragile life is, and how one phone call, me and Brother Joe talked about this before, one phone call can change your life completely, like it did this man. Now, he's going to go through some hard times. He's holding strong. He's going to be, I'm sure, emotional roller coaster. But I want to tell you, though, his faith that he showed me, and I called him this morning just to check on him. Guess where he was at? In church. He told me, I know that's where I got to be. And he's right in the mix of the, I don't know what the hardest part is, but he's planning the funeral, doing all this stuff right now. But he found time. He knew he had to be in church. So how grounded is your faith? When something happens, what's going to, how are you going to react? Is it going to drive a wedge between you and God? Or are you going to be prepared and well-grounded and rely on him totally? Now look, I don't like to dwell on bad stuff. My number two question, and I know some of y'all are going to laugh, how is your patience? Let that sink in a minute. How much patience do you have? Okay? That's going to kind of tie into our lesson, our sermon today. Up and down, right? At best, up and down, right? So let me read this I found. Let me back up real quick. This question stemmed from, I'm retiring next week, like Tommy said. Wednesday's my last day to work for DPS, and I'm retiring. They sent me to a leadership conference last week, okay? And so don't be mad at me. I didn't spend your state dollars. I was frugal with it. So believe it or not, and I just told Charlie right before I left, there may be something come out of this class that I can use in the pulpit. Here we are. Let me tell you in a DPS class with 100 people, leadership. Y'all heard of John Maxwell? He's the author. He writes a lot of police books and stuff. And I think, I don't know for a fact, but just coming from his commentary and stuff he writes, he's a Christian. Noah waited 120 years before the predicted rains arrived. That's a little bit of patience there. Abraham waited 25 years for a promised son. Joseph waited 14 years in prison for a crime he did not commit. And you can go back and read all the stories if you're not familiar with it. We're not going to break them down. Job waited perhaps a lifetime, 60 to 70 years, for God's justice. He lost everything, if you read Job. Earthly. He lost everything earthly, you know, material-wise. More important than that, the awaited goal is the work God does in us while we're waiting. God's always there. Never leaves us, never forsakes us. And you might not understand, just like my friend does not understand why he lost his son at 20 years of age. And just think about any things in your life that's happened over the years that you don't have a clear, direct answer for. God is always working and always there. Waiting deepens and matures us. I'm sure everybody in here probably got a testimony of when you went through a trial or whatever it was, and when you come out the other side of it, it made you a better Christian, made you a better person, got you closer to God, number one, probably, or should have. It levels out our perspective. Just think of all the issues you had this weekend, little problems bounced up and, you know, come up. You know, it all happens every day pretty much. But look at the big perspective of it. And I think about my friend. At the end of the day, what he's going through right now is nothing has happened up to this point has mattered in his life. It broadens our preparation, our closeness to God, our preparedness. When we go through trials and stuff, we should be, as Christians, leaning on God and draw you nearer to Him. And it indicates whether we can recognize and seize the opportunities that come our way. Just like this guy, he's hoping for the opportunity or on somebody else that somebody is saved through this tragedy. So what are we looking for? What's our opportunities that we need to take advantage of it? Life is short, y'all know that. I'm not saying it because I'm 50 years old. Like I said, I jokingly said a while ago, some of y'all wish y'all was 50 again. And so the younger people out there, and stuff, time flies, okay? What's important, you know, and I said, I did you call it a sermon, whatever, one day with the youth, you know, you got your basic tombstone, you got your birthday. I always said nobody cares about your birthday but your mama. And then you got your death day. That's coming. That's going to happen. Okay? What's important, though, none of those are important as what that dash represents. What did you do? What decisions did you make in that time you was here? If you was here 100 years or you was here like this kid, 20 years. By the way, this young man was a Christian. His daddy is comforted knowing that he's going to see him again one day. Because he knows where he's at. So what's that decision that you made or have not made? If you hadn't made it, today is the day of salvation. Because you don't know what's going to happen when you leave here or any time. Just like this young man. So make that decision in that dash when you had the opportunity. All right, Ephesians chapter 6. Sorry, chapter 4. 1 through 6. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient. I stopped on purpose. You know, we kind of touched on patience. Bearing with one another in love. Make every effort. That means I'll put it simple to you. That means make every effort. Y'all can laugh. That's okay. Now I say I done lost my spot. Y'all done messed me up. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is, now this is what we're going to drive home. We're going to talk about unity, okay? We're going to break this down. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Who is over all and through all and in all. Let me break that down for you. All. Everybody. Okay? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for these few words we read. Just be with us and just let us get what you have us get out of this sermon, this unity, peace, patience, and everything in between. Just thank you for everything you've done for us, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So Paul is writing and stuff. So as Christian, let me break it down to you. You know, I like to make it simple. I like simple stuff. The bottom line is, I don't care what you call yourself outside of Christian. I don't care what organization you call yourself. It don't matter. We're all the same. We're Christians. We got the one goal. And God gave every one of us, and you heard me preach about this a bunch of times, God has gave us, every one of us, a calling of some sort to do. Okay? And so that's what we're going to kind of talk about. We need to work together. We got to be unified, put a unified front on. Just look at it kind of like Paul does it later, the military. Uniformed, oneness, moving a bunch of people. They got the same goal on the same purpose. Just as Christ, first, let me back up a minute. So the only reason we're even talking about this is because Christ went on that cross and died for you and I. He did it for us because we cannot do it, period, bottom line. We couldn't do it. He knew that, but he did it for us. So now, since he did do it for us, now he gave us a calling to do. And for years, I went through saying all I had to do was just show up to church. I was real good at showing up to church. I always tell people I had a drug problem. My mom drove me to church every Sunday, Sunday night, Wednesday, and anything extra they had in between. I was there. Looked good on paper. What we call it at work. Looked good on paper. But what is your relationship with Jesus Christ, your one-on-one? Every time you bust through these doors, does it mean that you're where you need to be? That makes sense. You need to be with Christ. So we're going to talk about unity and what that means for us. And I'm watching the clock. I know y'all got chicken on your mind. So I'm working around fried chicken. And I'm okay with that. But I'm thinking about it too. I skipped breakfast. So I'm ready for a chicken leg myself. But in between time, let's talk about unity. Let's break those scriptures down. One body made of all believers everywhere. You know, and a lot of scripture in the Bible is straightforward, just like my favorite verse. Y'all know what it is, John 14:6. No one comes to the Father except through me. Pretty simple to understand. One body made of all believers everywhere. Everywhere. Romans 12:4-5 tells us, for just as each of us has one body and many members, and these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. So you got an arm that does something, you got a leg that does something, you know, our body functions the same as the church. And so just so happened, just I use myself for an example, I'm the preacher right now, but God has something for everybody in here. We're all one body. We're all working together for the same goal. What's that goal? It's what Jesus called us to do. Read Matthew 28:16-19. Go make disciples of all nations. Now, you know, I said we're not all missionaries. We don't go overseas. We don't have to. Like, you know, you walk right out this door, and about less than 5 minutes, you can be witnessing to somebody that needs Christ. You can do it right here at home. One body working for the same goal. Whatever function, and I had a lesson on that. I'm not going to preach it one day, but a Bible study we're going to have on helping you find out what you're called to do. Because we're all called to something. 1 Corinthians 12:12 tells us, just as the body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. I use the military as an example. Think of a football team, baseball team. They got different positions, different parts moving, but they're working together in unity. And that's what we need to be doing. I don't need to worry about what Brother Joe's doing as far as he's one-upping me. That stuff, you know, it crosses people's mind. We got a sin nature. We got human nature. We got the flesh and stuff. I'm telling somebody today, and so the younger people, they got a saying, and it's to stay in your own lane. I usually say mind your own business, but stay in your own lane. And so don't worry about what the other person doing. As long as they're doing what they're supposed to be doing for Christ and working together for the same goal, it doesn't matter who's doing what. Just as long as that person is doing what they're called to do. That's what we need to focus on. We need to focus on and helping each other. You know, this life is full of bumps in the road. Full of them. We're not exempt. Christians are not exempt. Non-Christians are not exempt. But we need to lean on each other and help each other. One body, one Christ. One Spirit who indwells in each believer. When Jesus ascended into heaven, he said, I'm going to leave you the Holy Spirit to guide and direct you. And he did. Sorry, I didn't pay attention in leadership class. I got a piece of candy in my mouth. That's a no-no. All right, don't dock my pay or nothing. So, one Spirit who indwells in each other. Romans 8:9 tells us, you, however, are not the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. Catch that? If you don't have the Spirit, you ain't where you need to be. Okay? Jesus is going to leave you. Left you, you accept him, go through him, get to the Father. You got the Spirit. Okay? We need to focus on that because there's only one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is what we're talking about. 1 Corinthians 12:13 tells us, for we all, ready for this? Baptized by one Spirit. Now let me explain something to you. Me and Charlie have been having some discussions about things. You know, you got the water baptism right here behind us. Let me tell you something. That's not going to get you to heaven. Okay? That's not going to get you to heaven. But what is baptized with the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit was tapping on you, you need to accept Christ. And then, out of obedience through Christ, go get baptized with the water to represent that you were saved by the Holy Spirit. So when they say baptized by the Holy Spirit, we ain't talking about getting dunked in water, which is important, but don't get too confused. You got to receive the Holy Spirit, and then you get baptized. I went down a rabbit trail, sorry. For we're all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body. And he said, whether Jews or Gentiles, if you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. Okay? Let me break it down. That's everybody. It's available to everybody. I don't care who you are, what you are, where you come from, where you've been, where you think you've been, where you think you're going. No matter. There's one Christ, one Spirit, one body. Then he's talking about one hope. What is that hope? What you think about it? One hope, which is Christ's promise to return and to take us to heaven. Take his followers to heaven. I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks ago, we talked about the second coming. Let me emphasize just one thing on it. I'm not going to dwell on it. He is coming. Amen. Yeah. And we should be excitedly waiting on that. And we should be until he does come, because it might not be in our physical lifetime. Or it may be any second. It could be any time. So we need to wait on it, but not wait. We'd be anxious about it. We need to diligently work towards what he told us to do until that time comes. And that's to reach out and reach as many people as you can for Christ until then. Ephesians 1:14 tells us who, he starts out with the question, who, Holy Spirit, is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to praise of his glory. How you become his possession? John 14:6, through Jesus Christ, his son. Then you belong to him. And I want to back up. Ephesians 4:1-6, our key verse we read, it starts out as a prisoner. A lot of people look at that as a negative. And typically, when you're in jail, that's a bad thing. Okay, but we ain't talking about that. We're talking about you're going to belong to somebody, either Christ or Satan, one or other. If you don't accept Jesus Christ, by default, you're going to belong to Satan. Okay? You might not worship him. You think you're a good person. But I'm going to break it down. I want to just tell you as simply as I can tell you. There's going to be a lot of good people in hell. Just simply the way it is. And I like what Brother Glenn used to say. It's probably going to surprise you who you see in heaven. Or not see. Just the way it is. So you get that one hope. And Paul's talking about as a prisoner of the Lord. That's a good thing. We need to belong to him. Colossians 1:27 says, to them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles. If you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. Okay? So we're covering everybody, right? Everybody. Remember that all and all, that part I read? That's all. That's everybody. The glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The hope of glory. And Titus 2:13 says, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. While we wait, let me read it again, for the blessed hope. So notice he said, while we wait for the blessed hope. There's no if or maybe. You accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it's a done deal. It's coming. You're just waiting it out while we wait for the blessed hope. Guaranteed. The appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're waiting on him to return. We got that blessed hope. And so don't think you just, I like to quote different people, so I'm Brother Glenn again. And so don't just get fire insurance and hope it's a good policy. Don't be stressed. You don't need to be in a position where, well, I think I'm going to heaven. You heard that before from people? I think I'm going to heaven. No, don't think. You know you're going to heaven. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. If you go through the Lord Jesus Christ and accept him as your Savior, you're going to heaven when he returns, period. Don't lose sleep over it. Go to the next problem. There's plenty of them. We got plenty of problems. So that was one body, one spirit, one hope. Now this is my favorite part. One Lord, Jesus Christ, who has redeemed us by what? By his blood. He washed us clean with his blood. He has done it for us. Ephesians 1:7 says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace." You have not earned it. You don't deserve it. But God's grace, he provided it for you. He gave it to you. And all we got to do is accept his son. One of O.C.'s favorite places to go, 1 Peter. Chapter 1, 18 through 19 tells us, "For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect." We're born into a fallen world, a sinful world. And remember that dash I was telling you about on that tombstone. You got to make that decision who you're going to follow. If you make no decision, you made a decision, like I said earlier. If you don't accept Christ, you're going the other direction. Okay? So don't put your riches on this world, things of this world. It's okay to have things, to accumulate things, but put it in perspective. Put God first, Jesus first, because he paid for it with his precious blood. Notice how it says, with his precious blood. Not just any blood, his precious blood, his perfect blood. Something that you, again, something that you and I could not do by ourselves. Could not. Never can be good enough. And then one faith. Once for all, delivered to the saints. The book of Jude 3. I'm not going to tell you what chapter. When you realize there's no chapters, you'll get the joke. There's one chapter in Jude. So Jude 3, that means verse 3. Because it's the only chapter in the book. Got a horror crowd. "Dear friends," this is what he says, "dear friends," okay, "although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share," you know, same salvation, one body, we're talking about oneness, unity is available to everybody, "I felt compelled to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to God's holy people." And I just told you earlier when I started out about that greatest example I've probably seen of faith with my buddy. We need to have that confidence. That's what he's striving for. We got the unity. All this stuff is going to fall into place if you got that faith. Don't let nothing steal your faith. Don't waver from it. Whatever bad happens, the worst thing you can think of that could possibly happen to you, whatever that may be, do not let it steal your faith. Now, yes, it'll be some hard times, be some struggles, be an emotional roller coaster on some stuff. And you might not, and I'll put it to you this way, you might not ever physically get over it, 100%. But what you will do, you will have eternal glorified life in Jesus Christ when he comes back and gets you. And that's what you hang your hat on. This world is temporary. This life is temporary. I don't care how long you live. It's a drop in the bucket compared to eternity. It don't even compare. You know, I always jokingly say, not jokingly, it's true, but and stuff. Eternity, you know, if you hold your arms out, it's forever that way and that way, which means eternity was always there in the past, and eternity is always that way in the future. Humanly, we can't wrap our head around it, our little brains. But that's where faith comes in. A lot of stuff you don't understand, that's where your faith comes in, and you got to rely on it. One baptism, referring to the primary baptism of the Spirit. We talked about that a little bit. Romans 6, 3-5 tells us, "Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death?" I want y'all to pay attention to this. It's a little lengthy, but This is important. So the first part there, we were baptized into his death. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Thank you. We ought to be jumping with joy because of that. We got a new life. For if we have been united with him in death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. You know, we said you got Jesus Christ. Right now, when you accepted him, you're already living in the eternity realm. The Holy Spirit, we got it with us. We're just passing through this world. Just passing through. We're going to step right on inside the other side. Step right into the other side. We need to focus on that. For we were all baptized, this is 1 Corinthians, by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jew or Gentile, slave or free. We were all given the one Spirit to drink. We all got the same Kool-Aid, to make it funny. It's one Spirit, and it's there for everybody. It's there for us. So you know, let me just explain that. So the representation of baptism in the water is death, burial, resurrection of Christ and stuff. You know, you got your old self, and the pastor or whoever baptized you brings you down, buries you under the water, just like Christ was buried after his death. You died to sin. You come in the water. He raised you back up to a new life, a new you. That's a representation of what, that's why it's important to remember that. One Father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the Heavenly Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I close with this. Malachi 2:10 tells us, do we not all have one Father? Did not one God create us? Why do we profane the covenant of our ancestors by being unfaithful to one another? We're all in this ride together. We unite. We're Christians. We need to have that oneness like Paul just told us through Scripture. One body, one Spirit, one hope, one Lord Jesus Christ. We all got different roles to play. I'll leave you with this question. Two questions. What is your role? And are you doing it? Are you doing what Jesus asked you to do? Dear Heavenly Father, everybody stand. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day and this opportunity to hear your word. Just prick our hearts, Lord, and just let us open our eyes, our soul, to what you have us to do. We stay in line with you, Lord, and through your Son, and just be with us with our faith, that we willingly and joyfully do the calling you have for each and every one of us, Lord. Let us find that and stay connected to you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As the musicians play the song of invitation, if you have not received Christ or need Christ, come up here. And you can do it where you're at, too, if you need to. If you need to come pray, come pray.